Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Wednesday, 10th of February, 2021. And we have a final Chinese session overnight before their full week of holidays around the new year, which formally is on Friday the 12th. And as you can see on slide two, the I suppose that's the CSI 300 feature we have there, Peter, on the main chart, showing it finishing quite strongly, to say the least. And the PPI also out overnight, as expected, at 0.3% year on year. Inflation is really going to bear watching in China. This is considered a key global inflation indicator, and we're going to be coming into some key months here as we get those basing effects coming in. But it seems like every morning we wake up recently and see the NASDAQ futures, for example, up 50 to 100 points for those of us without the following the Chinese session every night. And that was no exception here. And I'm wondering, I don't know if you're wondering as well, Peter, but if things go a bit quiet here when China goes offline, it seems like they've been providing a lot of positive energy in these markets.
Yeah, Chinese equities have provided a lot of energy to the market, although I think there is a lot of energy as well in the technology stocks, both in Europe and the US, but we'll get back to that in 1 minute's time or so. But if we stay with this slide, so slide two, and remember everyone listening to this podcast that when you open up the podcast episode on your podcast app, there is a small link in the accompanying text to the podcast, and if you click that link, it will open up the slide so you can follow what we're saying on the slides. But as you can see here, we also had the China PPI figure coming out from January. We talked a lot about that last week as a lead-in to today. And as expected, it went positive, highest reading since early 2019. And I think, interestingly enough, the core CPI, so what the consumers in China are paying, was actually declining. So there's divergence there in prices in China, but for the rest of the world and for us living here in Europe, the China PPI is definitely the one to watch, because that is the one that translates into higher, potentially higher consumer prices in our part of the world. And we still have the stimulus in the US coming, more stimulus in Europe as well is arriving. And then I put in the small insert as well here in slide two, there are different themes, and it's just remarkable to see that, you know, the bubble stocks, they just continue to do quite well, especially and e-commerce as well yesterday. I think that speaks volume about the type of market we're in, that you know, it's still very speculative. But John, I want to put your attention to slide three. And I don't know whether it was you or Ole that said, are you serious, Peter? But because I'm actually writing here that NASDAQ 100 is a very unique index, and it's, you know, at least in recent history, it's not really expensive. And I'll give you the reason why. So if we start with the positive story, it's the chart to the right. You can see here the green line, it's quarterly earnings per share. And then NASDAQ 100, as you can see here, the, you know, profitability in NASDAQ 100 have more than recovered already from the pandemic and actually provided a pretty big boost, whereas the MSCI World and the S&P 500 is much more muted in their rebound. And I think that is really what's driving up demand for technology stocks. It's predictable. They do very well, especially at least in a pandemic, and they have high return on invested capital. And then if you look at the free cash flow yield here, as I show, I mean, it's just south of 3% for the NASDAQ 100, but you still have the credit yield, the global credit yield hovering around 1.3%. So the spread there between the credit market, which you could argue is the closer you get to a real discount rate on corporate profits or corporate free cash flows. That spread between those two yields are pretty much stable over the past year. So there's nothing really indicating. And as I've said before, you really need to see rates and specifically credit yields going much higher from here. And that's back to the inflation story, but it's not really here for now. But, you know, the equity market is just enjoying low rates. And we had US junk bond yields hitting fresh lows yesterday. And then all the stimulus would lift growth outlook, basically.
Yeah, the financial conditions, no doubt about that, helping this sort of everything uptrade. Except for the dollar, which is down, of course, and that is something I will talk about. But speaking of everything up, Ole, in your space on commodities, we're seeing some pretty high-flying action in some of the key metals, especially industrial metals. What's the latest there? And you're, you know, a bit reluctant to hop on the bullish train, at least at these levels, on crude. So take us through that.
Well, it's right, John. If you look at the metals, first of all, it looks like we got this perfect storm basically brewing in the market, where this whole green transformation theme, the beliefs in a post-pandemic growth sprint is basically supporting some of these key commodities such as copper, which is it's reached an 8-year high today. We just tested support just around a week ago, late January, and found support, and now we're racing higher. And it is the combination of supplies, which is relatively scarce, and demand, which just continues to grow so far, especially out of China. And obviously, if we do see increased green transformation focus, then just imagine all the wiring that's required, both in electrical vehicles and in terms of rolling out charging stations and so on. So it is underpinning copper. And another one that's also benefiting from that transformation focus is platinum. Platinum has been left in the shade by gold now for a number of years, but that has really changed significantly since early November when the vaccine news broke, but also when Biden won the presidency, U.S. election in the U.S. And these two factors basically kicked off a major rally. And while we've seen gold basically drift lower for the past few months, platinum has continued to go higher. So the premium, gold's premium has collapsed by more than $400 since early November, and platinum is now at a 6-year high. And remember, it's used in hybrid cars or in cars in general, in the converters, but the hybrid cars, which are expected to have a golden future, at least in the near term, is depending on platinum. And we have to remember that most of the production comes out of South Africa, where there's been some COVID-19 related supply disruptions recently. And just to finish off the commodity section, I tweeted out yesterday just basically that the energy sector is in need of maybe not a correction, because the underlying fundamentals are still building, but at least some consolidation. The whole energy sector, from crude oil to gas oil and gasoline and diesel, they all hit RSIs above 70 yesterday. So that's indicating some risk of a near-term consolidation. However, what does support the market, the commodities in general, is the roll yield. I'm not going to dwell too much into it now, but we talked about it on several occasions over the past few months. We are now seeing if you are rolling a long crude oil position for a year, month by month, you are now looking at a roll yield in the region of 8%. And given the strong underlying fundamentals, which doesn't really leave much risk in terms of the downside, that is a trade that a lot of macroeconomic based funds have been jumping on board in recent months. So one is a fundamental story in terms of demand recovering, but another one is also the carry that we're seeing in the market.
All right, and with all this upswell in reflationary anticipation, strong risk sentiment, no surprise to see the dollar weaker here. And you're seeing some pretty key technical developments in the dollar in a number of major pairs. If you look at Eurodollar on slide 4, you can see that there's that nice bar where it's tried to slip below 120. We got the week non-farm payrolls report on Friday, and it closed the week in a very, very strong bar that has so far followed through this week. And that's kind of erased that whole episode. And now we're challenging above the 21-day moving average. So we've kind of righted the chart there a bit more effectively. Again, I wonder if with this the Chinese New Year situation, we could see the dollar CNY sidelined a bit and maybe some energy taken out of this market. Not a sure thing, but just wondering if the momentum could be kept up in the near term. And then you see how the narrative is very much correlated for a currency like Aussie with the commodities. Slide 5, I put it in the Aussie in green there, and then the iron ore prices in China in the future there in blue. And you can see how the correlation is virtually one for that relationship. Then we need to keep in mind that the only thing, we mentioned financial conditions, a weaker dollar certainly helping out things to support global markets. But we have to look at the U.S. Yields and the long end yield curve continuing higher recently. It paused a little bit close to the cycle highs for the 10-year. It went a little bit to new highs on the 30-year to 2%. There we have two key options that could play a part in where U.S. yields go. And why are we so fixated on yields? That this is something at the margin that is pushing back against the one-way street for risk and for ever loosening conditions. So watching the strength in that auction today, Results are out at 1800 GMT. And you could argue, as long as the progress is slow, we might be able to sort of boil the frog, if you will, or turn up the heat on this one towards 1.5%. But above there, certainly the risk grows of the market needing to take notice of US yields rising. What else do we have on the docket? We certainly have earnings season continuing today with a couple of names that you've bolded, Peter, on slide 9. Anything you're looking for that's going to trigger more market interest here?
Yeah. So we have the ADN, which is the Amsterdam listed European payments companies. Probably, it's in the same space as all these global payments company, and hopefully, my fingers crossed, not a new Wirecard. I do think it's a much more technology driven company, and less about what a Wirecard was about. Let's certainly hope that. But it has been a very successful company. It traded at around 600 euros per share back in September 2019, and we're just trading north of 2,000 today. We are up around 7-8% on the earnings release, which showed, as you can see on the headline here on slide 9, 28% revenue growth last year, despite the pandemic, obviously driven by e-commerce and global demand for online shopping. They are raising their long-term EBITDA margin to 65%. So it's an infrastructure company in the digital world. It's almost like an exchange in fixed income markets or in equities or commodities. These companies, CME and the likes, also having these EBITDA margin around 65-70%. So it's a very lucrative business, very positive results there. And then Toyota Motor also reported Q3 earnings and lifted its guidance for fiscal year, which ends in March. Basically lifting their operating income to 2 trillion yen versus 1.53 trillion yen expected by the market. So very positive there. And then basically the management says that they have zero issues with the global microprocessor chip supply issues that we've been talking so much about, and then which is impacting other car makers around the world. So I'm wondering a little bit what's going on here, whether Toyota has access to local supplies of computer chips produced in Japan, or they simply have been better at anticipating this potential shortage and basically really ramping up inventories of that. So, but that's very interesting because it would put Toyota in a very good spot to extend its lead as the highest volume producing car maker in the world. And then, John, the two other earnings releases I've highlighted for today are Uber Technologies. So Uber, as we know them as a consumer brand, they need to close that gap in terms of very negative free cash flow. So a potential downside risk here, if they don't show a solid path to profitability, they're putting out these milestones and guidelines all the time. They do expect by the Q4 this year to be cash flow positive. I'm very curious to see whether they stick to that guidance. Otherwise, the stock could be under pressure. And then Mercado Libre, which is the one we featured in our preview on Monday, or this Monday, the South American version of Amazon, with its main revenue source still coming out of Brazil. Very interesting company, growing very fast. Read our preview on analysis.saxo if you want more insight into Mercado Libre. But that one could lift sentiment and equity valuation across the space in e-commerce stocks. That's it.
All right, good stuff. Then we take a look at the macro calendar for today. A couple of interesting things coming up. I mentioned the 10-year auction already. We'll be watching that. Then the US CPI also out today. Not expected to show anything notable, but we've seen some pretty hot inflation readings elsewhere. So I'm curious if we get an upside beat there and then how the market deals with that. Only expected at 1.5% on year and year on the headline and core. And that core reading would be a drop if it does register 1.5% relative to the 1.6% in December. So we're all looking for a near-term, a big-time inflation pressures to establish pretty soon here, especially as March and April roll into view. So I think the market will be getting increasingly sensitive across the board to these releases, but especially in FX on the implications for real interest rates. And then we have Fed Chair Powell speaking in 1900 at the Economic Club of New York. He's not been one to send prominent signals lately, other than we're going to stick the course for now. And I think that will remain the message as long as we're, we could still have COVID lockdowns in place, and as long as we're not getting a better sense of where the economy is headed as the vaccine rollout proceeds.
Yeah, and John, just want to mention as well on the energy space, we got the weekly stock report from the EIA, and the American Petroleum Institute last night reported a drop of 3.5 million barrels. So that's the expectations as we move into that number. But as usual, market will also be looking for any pickup in gasoline demand, and gasoline stocks are actually expected to rise quite strongly again. So so still the discrepancy between prices going up and where the consumption is actually coming from. So we'll keep an eye on that.
And as we're speaking here, we have the Swedish Riksbank meeting breaking, and they're saying they're going to stay at 0% for years to come. But we have the Swedish krona towards the highs of the cycle versus the euro. And it'll be very interesting to watch that euro stock level if we get down towards 10, which I think we will, as long as we remain in sort of a positive risk sentiment across the board. Format here for now. So watching your stocky over that, and then just watching, the general outlook here as we head into a quiet period, at least potentially over the Chinese New Year, and as earnings season rolls on, etc. And we wait for the U.S. stimulus news. Probably have to wait for that a little bit until we get the other side of this Trump trial on the second round of impeachment and attempts to convict, which doesn't look likely with Republican support quite strong across the board still there. For now, we'll call it a day, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call for today. Thanks for joining.